Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Maynard and Edgar putting on a show.
Outstanding.
Wow.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
It is all over. Just like that.
Pedro Fernandez.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your modest host. Of course, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove winner and, of course, an award-winning writer. So I know a little bit about boxing. But if you know more, give us a call on the toll-free. It's your show. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, we are just hours away from the zone broadcast, DAZN. I'm talking about King Ryan Garcia, the king of boxing, the next Oscar De La Hoya, the next Canelo Alvarez. That's right. I'm saying all that and more straight up. Ryan Garcia against Luke Campbell. And of course, we'll hear from Ryan Garcia. And to break the down fight, to break the fight down, we'll bring in boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. So live worldwide, this is Ring Talk Sports, coming to you on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, CRN. There's like 1,000 different internet platforms. Straight up, we'll hear from Ryan Garcia today. We'll maybe hear from some Don King as well. And, you know, I love that clip about Sammy Gravano putting a hit out on Don King, or John Gotti putting a hit out on Don King. It's sort of cool because it was fantasy and it was not real, but these are real life guys talking about it. So it is real and it is fantasy straight up. Sammy Gravano, maybe we'll hear from him in segment number four. Once again, open phone lines all around the planet. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Get this. You can hook us up on the guilt-free no commitment text line. You can text the studio. That's 415-275-1613. Once again, the studio line for texting, 1-415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you from Sports Byline.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Thank y'all for tuning in. All the fans around the world, we love y'all.
Check it. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look to the world of boxing and the world of mixed martial arts. Of course, 12 minutes past the hour, hour number one. This is the only hour we do on Saturdays. Of course, the Saturday show is a one-hour show. But Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, we do a two-hour show. That's right. Saturday and Sunday is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Saturday for an hour on these same channels, on Sunday for 2 hours on these same channels. Straight up, it's time to take it to the Bronx, to bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, Pedro. Happy New Year, sir. And to all the listeners.
Happy New Year. You know, somebody said to me, do some New Year's resolutions. But I still, you know, why should I do New Year's resolutions when I get disappointed with them? You know what I'm saying? Outside of, you know, I mean, so I said to myself, this year I'm sort of going to pass. Besides, if 2021 can't top 2020, we're in trouble.
Yeah, I kind of gave up on resolutions a while back myself. I guess just try to do, you know, a little personal challenge, try to, you know, be a little bit better each day. You know, I think that's the best way to go. If you set, like, these unrealistic goals for yourself, or these, it's like, if you don't hit the mark, then it's like, you know, what's the point of doing it? Just, you know, kind of like the Nike slogan, just do it, you know. You know what you have to do, and just put your best effort towards it.
Okay, boxing's PhD, straight to the point. The $64,000 question. Is Ryan Garcia the next Oscar De La Hoya?
Wow. I mean, that's a very high standard. Does he have the potential? Yes. Does he have Oscar's natural ability? I don't think so. I think Oscar was probably a little bit better fighter, you know, at this stage in his life. You know, Oscar was an Olympic gold medalist. You know, you can't buy that in the corner store. You know, Oscar is a bad dude. Probably could have even been better if if he didn't have some outside distractions in his life. But Ryan Garcia is a very talented fighter in his own right, and he has the potential of being a bigger star outside of boxing than Oscar, you know, especially now with this era of social media that we live in. He's going to have to, at the end of the day, though, he's going to have to show and prove inside the ring.
John Montes was a pretty good junior welterweight in the world of boxing. He reached the top 10. He fought Camacho, and that's his claim to fame, getting drilled by Camacho with one shot, I think, up there in Anchorage, Alaska. But I watched him and Oscar work out in the gym, and he was in the top 10, and Oscar was 17 years old. And Oscar lit him up so bad, I sort of turned away. In other words, we're talking ass whooping. I mean, he was just, I mean, whoa. I mean, punishing shots. And this is a top 10 type of guy. And it was Oscar De La Hoya was sort of fighting like Sugar Ray Leonard and Alexis Arguello put together. He adapted his style since then. But as in an amateur, I mean, I was blown away by Oscar. Now, I'm not trying to say Ryan's the golden boy per se, but I think he's at least the silver boy. And I think as we move forward, I think that, you know, I mean, he's had his problems in the gym and with Raleigh Romero and people like that. Maybe we'll get that clip rolling a little bit later. But outside of that, he's been flawless. I mean, that last fight, holy cow, man, I only scored one knockout in my entire life to where a guy went like that. I mean, and they just don't happen. You know what I'm saying? I think Ryan's special. And Hector Martinez is knocking him. And, you know, Hector only wants to bet against him, though, if I give him long odds. But the bottom line is Hector Martinez is knocking him. Everybody else is putting him in doubt. I just think that he has, like you said, the most potential of any athlete I've seen in the last 20 years.
Listen, you know, he's easy to knock, you know, of course. The guy, you know, he's a good-looking kid. You know, he's unproven, and yet, you know, he's getting a lot of attention. He is the Instagram heartthrob, you know. It's easy to be a hater against Ryan. And I myself, I wouldn't call myself a Garcia basher, but I have my doubts on how good he really is. You know, is he in the upper echelon to be mentioned with Teofimo Lopez, Lomachenko, Gervonta Davis? You know, he has to show it. He has to prove something to me. And I think today's fight against Luke Campbell is an excellent test. It's a crossroads fight for Campbell, who at one point, you know, he was considered to be the future of the lightweight division, you know, and things haven't gone his way. So it's kind of like a make or break fight for him. So he has that hunger, you know.
Okay. I'm looking at his resume. He lost to Linares. Outside of that, Hector Martinez brought up the same thing too. He's got all these knockouts, but these knockouts are against guys that are like prone to getting knocked out. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he's beaten the guys he's supposed to have beaten. And even the Linares fight, remember, Linares has been around for a long time. A guy that has had issues with cuts and the reason they took that fight is because they thought Linares was probably past his prime and Linares beat him. You know, close decision, you know, albeit, but nevertheless, I think Linares won cleanly. So Campbell kind of took a backward step, and then he had his moment against Lomachenko where he actually fought better than what most people anticipated. And that's where you kind of saw Lomachenko's skills maybe diminishing or probably time catching up to him. So that's what makes this fight so intriguing. You know, where is Luke Campbell in this stage of his career? Is he in between the Linares Lomachenko? Is he overrated, you know, with the gold medal? It's a great fight, you know. And Ryan Garcia's gonna have to be at his best. Because he was saying that he said, don't blink, which means that he's looking to knock Luke Campbell out. Luke has shown a sturdy chin. So it's a really, really good fight.
Okay, speaking of Ryan Garcia, he did an interview with FightHype.com. Let's check that out.
And speaking of family, you have Canelo Alvarez and Oscar De La Hoya in your corner, your two biggest mentors in the sport right now. What are some of the key learnings that you've taken from both of them that you've kind of applied to your career and your life?
Just the amount of, you know, humility they have and how humble they are when they have so much, especially when it comes to Canelo. You know, I sometimes talk to Oscar, but not as much as Canelo. Obviously, I train with Canelo. But, you know, he's pulled me to the side and he's really taken me under his wing and showed me, you know, what to do. And I just respect somebody that has everything and still takes their time to really mentor a young fighter like me. And I hope to pass that on to one of, you know, a young fighter one day that I see potential and, you know, pay it forward.
Has it been weird for you kind of navigating the love triangle ever since Canelo's split? I know you're in the same gym. Oscar's your promoter. Has that dynamic been weird for you?
I don't really get into that. I kind of just stay to myself and focus on my fights. And, you know, I want to accomplish my dreams. I can't be worrying about, you know, what's going on with who and who. I got to just worry about what I got going on.
Yeah, it's obviously strictly business. And as Canelo turns the page on his career, that actually opens the door and the seat for you to become the face of Golden Boy and the new star of their stable. Is that something that you're welcoming? Is that something you're going to take on moving forward in 2021 as you develop in your career?
Yeah, but I don't think I would say Golden Boy star. I would just say world boxing star. You know, I want to be one of the biggest fighters in the world, you know, and not just for Golden Boy, but for myself. That's my dream as a fighter, to, you know, become one of the greats, you know, one of the best fighters that's ever lived. That's my dream. So, you know, and I want to be one of the biggest fighters. So, you know, that comes with, one, promoting myself, two, you know, putting on great fights for the fans, leaving my heart out for the fans, for them to remember, and just to be as open as I can be for the people so they can feel everything. And hopefully people get inspired and they learn from what I put out there.
You talk about being open and wearing your heart on your sleeve. I think you're very transparent with your following as well too. And, you know, you're just not putting pictures up there or links, you know. I remember you saying you struggle with mental health issues, you know, you open up in ways probably some people might be afraid to. 2020 has been tough for a lot of people in different ways. How has that been difficult for you as far as overcoming your mental health issues?
I think I'm open the way I am because I know what it feels like. And I know that it's not a fun place to be at when you don't know what's going on. So I try to be, you know, as vulnerable as I can. And for that, it gives me strength. And with that strength, I give to other people so they don't have to go through the same things, you know. And I just try to help out younger kids because I know that if they, you know, hold it inside, it's just going to destroy them little by little without them noticing. And I want to give everybody, you know, advice and a good chance. And so what they want to do, and I want to show people that no matter what's going on inside, that there's a way to get through it and there's a way to still be the best you can be no matter what is going on, because, you know, God gets his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. So, and that's what I want to get, and that's what I want to help out people figure out, because I experienced it.
Those challenges that you've experienced, does it come with perhaps the pressure of having to succeed, having to live up to the expectations? Is that where some of those challenges you're having to face, is that where they come from?
Yeah, some stuff come from that. But, you know, just things that I think about is like, you know, in order to do anything great in life, there needs to be an amount of pressure. Whether you're making, you know, a diamond, how much pressure you need to make a diamond. How much pressure, you know, it's going to take for me to become a diamond in the ring. And it's going to take loads of pressure. So I need to embrace it because this is my moment. The more pressure there is, the better chance I have to becoming a great. There has to be greatness, but in order to achieve greatness, there has to be pressure. So I kind of take it like, all right, this is what I've been working for. Here's the pressure. Here it comes. I need to embrace it and go for it.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, King Ryan Garcia coming up in just a few hours on DAZN, D-A-Z. And if you don't have it, you probably want to get it because I think he's the future of boxing. Some people don't think so, but I'm telling you, I think today, we'll see what happens after the fight, just like that. Luke Campbell, we'll talk about that just a little bit more after the break. Socrates Palmer is staying with us. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, of course. Text us. Shoot me a text because, you know, some of you are, like, scared to come on the air. I'm afraid to call. I don't know what to say. All right, shoot me a text. The text number, 415-275-1613. Just studio text line once again, 415-275-1613. We'll come back with the PhD of boxing, Socrates Palmer, right after the break.
Big time! Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
But he has a shock in store for him. He has two great chances, Slim and none, and Slim's out of town.
Talking about the Brit? Is he talking about the Brit? I'm talking about, of course, Luke Campbell taking on Ryan Garcia in a couple hours on DAZN. It's an early start time. I think it starts at noon Pacific time. That's right after the show. Of course, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So check it out on DAZN. So before I get to a prediction later from our boxing's PhD, I want to mention this. Today is the birthday. It would have been the 52nd birthday of Tommy the Duke Morrison. I last saw him in 1995 when they were stitching up a cut on his head in a hotel room in Kansas City, Missouri. He was victorious that night when he stopped Donovan Ruddock. A bit of a quick stoppage there with the referee, but straight up Ron Lipton was the referee. But he went 202-20 as an amateur, 48-3-1 as a pro, with 42 KOs. Straight up Tommy Duke Morrison, happy birthday. May he rest in peace. Now, let's go back to the Bronx and bring in the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Sock, I got to ask you, Sean Porter saying that they lowballed him and offered him $1 million to fight Terrence Crawford. Is that a low ball?
I would have to find out how much he made in his last fight. I mean, I think Sean Porter, I think he played himself. I mean, $1 million is nothing to sneeze at. That's number one. Number two, I'm sure that fight would be on pay-per-view, so there would be some sort of incentive afterwards, you know, pay-per-view revenue. I think Sean Porter is full of it, just like most of the guys in PBC. They keep fighting in their own little bubble, you know, against basically the in-house fighters, and I think it's a joke. The same way Caleb Plant turned down a fight against Canelo several months ago. These guys, are they seeing that type of money at PBC to turn down those type of fights? I'm very surprised, especially Sean Porter, who out of that whole crew of welterweights is probably the oldest, you know, so his boxing clock is ticking. I'm very shocked. You get a chance to fight the number one, maybe the number one pound for pound fighter in the world, and you turn it down. That's a joke.
Ooh, number one pound for pound fighter in the world. Speaking of number one pound for pound, he used to be at one point in time. Maybe. At least people thought Triple G was the guy. 41-1-1. Of course, he won loss and he won draw to Canelo Alvarez. 36 KOs. Going to take on, looks like, Jaime Munguia, the Mexican from Tijuana, Mexico. Of course, 36-0, 29 Ks. Former WBO 154 pound guy. A guy that hasn't shined, in my mind, at 160 pounds. What do you take on? What's your take on that?
It's a big step up for Jaime Munguia, who, you know, his biggest moment was when he beat the brakes off of Saddam Ali, who was really a smaller guy, really welterweight, you know, and he pounded him out pretty bad. Then he didn't look too good, you know, afterwards, and he fought the Japanese fighter, I forget his name. And he's kind of, I wouldn't say regressed, but you know, he's had his moments of that. He looks pretty ordinary. He fought Spike O'Sullivan. So this would be a major step up in class. I know he's been training now with Eric Morales for about a year now. It's a real test against a guy that still showed that there's some threat on those tires, you know, the way Golovkin looked his last time out. So it's an interesting fight. I would probably still make Golovkin the favorite, you know, against a guy that's has potential but very raw and inexperienced fighting at this world-class level.
Okay. 2020 offered a lot of challenges to the world of boxing, of course, with the COVID virus, et cetera. But the two fighters of the year, it's the first time, allegedly, that Ring Magazine has shared the title fighter of the year. Teofimo Lopez, of course, the undefeated lightweight champion, come to us from Brooklyn, New York, via Honduras. And, of course, the Gypsy. I'm talking about Tyson Fury, the world heavyweight champion, also undefeated with that one draw to Deontay Wilder, of course, which he erased. Can anybody else make a claim to Fighter of the Year in 2020 besides those two guys?
I don't think so. I think they both had the most significant performances of the year. Tyson Fury, you know, I think clearly is the best heavyweight in the world. He soundly thrashed Deontay Wilder. Also, what he brings outside of boxing, I think you have to take into consideration his charisma and, you know, he's got that crossover ability, you know, which is a great thing, especially if you're his promoter. And Teofimo Lopez, I mean, he beat the man who was the man. You know, he's the legit lightweight champion, unified, and I have no problems with them sharing the award. It's and especially in this weird year of boxing, you know.
Okay. All right. Lomachenko's talking.
Get some normal.
All right, back to Lomachenko. Vasyl Lomachenko, of course, having lost that lightweight title. He's been coming up with excuses after excuses after excuses. He sort of sounds like a little whining, you know what, but I'm not going to go that and say that on the air. But he wants to take on Tank Davis. Tank Davis says he wants to fight at 130. Lomachenko says he wants to stay at 135. Is there going to be a fight between these two guys, and what weight?
Well, if they fight, I would like to see it at 135. I'm surprised because Tank Davis has had issues making weight before. So I don't know if that's just a way of them saying no to the fight without looking like chumps. You know, I think that's what that's what I'm thinking it is. Why wouldn't you want to take that fight? Right? Even if it's at 140, who cares? I mean, it's his opportunity to,
I think Davis made his mark at 130 to be able to drop down to 130 and have that kind of power and the speed as well. Why not stay at 130? I've always accused him of being chubby at 135.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's funny because Lomachenko is the naturally smaller guy. I mean, he turned pro at 122 pounds. So mm-hmm. I'm surprised that he wants to fight at the heavier weight. Maybe he doesn't have it anymore to make the sacrifice to drop down in weight. You know, hopefully, if there's enough money on the table, they can make the fight happen, I'm sure. And it would be a fascinating fight.
Okay, inside of a minute, champ, who wins tonight? Ryan Garcia or Luke Campbell, and how do you think?
Well, I would have to favor Ryan Garcia because of the intangible of being undefeated. I think that holds a lot of weight. Luke Campbell has lost before, and he knows how to lose already, and that could be a big difference. I'm picking Ryan with a knockout midway.
It's on the Zone, folks. The Zone starts right after the show, 12 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, live on the Zone, Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia. Sock, say hello to the family. We'll talk in a week. God bless you, man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Blessings to you and to your family and all the listeners.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing. Before we go, I want to mention Manouk Akilpayan did that great interview with Ryan Garcia on FightHype.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
I'm on Ring Talk, and as you know, this is one of the first shows that got onto the internet. My friend Pedro is a true fighter in his own mind, I should say. But he really is. I seen him exercising the other day, getting ready for somebody. I don't know who it is, because everybody is taking shots at him. So I see him getting himself in good condition so that he can fire back. Never been one to say die. Never been one to hide out. He comes on damn near torpedoes, full steam ahead.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
He is the greatest fighter of all times, next to me.
When I last talked to the wire-haired wonder Don King a few months back, he said to me, quote, Pedro, I'm playing a good game with a short stick. And I take it back. We had one conversation after that. He said he'd call me next week and never called me. Bottom line is his health is failing. He's 89 years old, born August 20th, 1931. And, you know, he's been through a lot, ups and downs. A lot of people hate him. More people, I think, don't understand him because he's just a stone-cold businessman. I mean, if he was white and he was in the world of the stock market or something like that, he'd be looked in a different perspective. Because he's in boxing, the blood shows, thus Don King is going to be the immortal bad guy for the rest of mankind, no doubt about that. But here is a clip I'm about to run in. It's a little bit funny. But Sammy the Bull Gravano is talking about getting into boxing. Of course, he had a couple of fighters back in the days where he had a piece of a fighter, he and John Gotti. But the bottom line is they talk about killing Don King. Check this one out.
Boxing, gambling. Did you guys ever do anything with Don King? Any contacts with Don King?
Yes. I went in front of a grand jury. I was subpoenaed in front of a grand jury for boxing. When I was there, I was out with John Gotti. Mike Tyson was the Now, I had another guy, and I can't think of his name. I knew the trainer, and I knew the black guy. I was training in the gym with him occasionally. He was a tough fighter, and he was a little bit over the hill. So I thought of a thing to set up a fight. I wanted him, and someday I'll get the name, I can't remember right now, but I'll get him to fight the champ in Italy. The champ in Italy was with two brothers who were both made guys in the mob. So I'm reaching them through the Italian people. I want this guy to come in and fight my guy, the black guy. And my guy will win, so he gets your belt. So if he wins and he has your belt, I want to hook up a fight with Mike Tyson, and I want big money because it's a championship. He's got a belt, you got a belt. The numbers are bigger. We know that Mike could probably beat you. Now, if the people around Mike want to make him duck a fight, I don't think he would do that. But then it's another story, but we never got that far. The Italian guy had to come here and fight a lesser opponent first before he fought my guy, and he lost to that guy. So now the thing is off. But in the process of all of this, John knows what's going on. I have a guy, a street guy, can't even think of his name, but he's going to Don King talking about a potential fight. He's not having a lot of luck. Don King stands up. He don't want it, no part of this thing. He mentions John Gotti, this, that. I'm a tough guy. I went to jail for this and that. And John, I'm not doing any of that bullshit. So the kid comes back and tells me. So I said, John, forget the whole thing now. It ain't going to work. He won't do it. Don King won't do what we want. Did you tell him to mention my name? Yeah, I did. He don't want to be bothered. He said he's a tough guy. He did time. Really? Yeah. Tell the kid to go back, make another appointment, and kill him. Do you want me to kill Don King? No, not you. The kid, this guy. You want me to tell this kid to go back and kill Don King? Yeah, well, hit him with a proposal. If he says no, take a gun out and shoot him. All right. That's what you want? Yeah. All right. I grabbed the kid. He was in the kid. He's a guy, you know, who's tough. Listen, you're going to go, you're going to hit him with this proposal. If he says no and gives you that shit, I'm a tough guy, take the gun out and shoot him. Shoot him right in the head. Kill him. You want me to kill Don King? I said, it's not me. John wants you to kill him. What do you want me to tell you? You got to kill him. He took off. The kid took off. I'd never seen hide a hair of him again. He must have left the country. I don't know where the he went. He took off. So we never went after Don King because I didn't want. I'm definitely not going after him because this is insane now. We're hitting the guy because he don't want to do a deal. We'll be hitting guys every other week.
Sammy the Bull Gravano talking about hitting Don King. Of course, that was a little hilarious the way Sammy did it, but it's really not funny. I mean, Sammy was a homicidal maniac. He killed many people, double-digit deaths, of course, and he was a guy that went to jail, of course, went to witness protection program, got out of the witness protection program, and then got into ecstasy pills and had like zillions of ecstasy pills and was caught selling them down there in Phoenix, Arizona, and somehow he didn't go to the jail for the rest of his life again. He must have something on somebody. Anyway, Sammy the Bull Gravano is out now. He's got his own podcast, I think. Check out where you get your podcast. Sammy the Bull Gravano is there. Now, Ryan Garcia, before I switch to the world of mixed martial arts, of course, in the UFC, which is a bit quiet because they don't have any stars, and Dana White can't do it by himself because Dana White can't fight. He's a fat old guy. Anyway, Ryan Garcia says he wants to fight Gervonta Davis for a Cinco de Mayo clash. In other words, that would go down in May on pay-per-view. And, of course, that means Canelo on pay-per-view, Ryan on pay-per-view. We're talking about two different pay-per-view events, maybe one on DAZN and one on pay-per-view or something like that. They're going to break it up. But imagine if they had two events on the same day, DAZN. I think that's what they're looking to do, maybe lock in a whole lot of new subscribers. You know, because in the old days, you could buy DAZN for like whatever the minimal price was, and you watch a fight, and then you cancel it, then you order the fight, order DAZN again, and watch a fight again, and then cancel it, and things like that. So you didn't have to keep up your subscription. Well, they sort of got hip to that. And a couple of gangsters pulled some scams on them. They got hip to that. And now you've got to, you know, buy your DAZN. So I think it's $19.99. I grudge every time my Google card says that I paid for that. But, you know, it's the fights. I mean, if you're a boxing fan, I think you've got to have DAZN, D-A-Z-N. And, of course, that's an app. Get it on your phone or your computer or maybe your smart TV. And, of course, ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus rocks. I mean, ESPN Plus has got every Ali fight, Joe Lewis fight. I mean, they've got everybody's fights with mine. Don't ask me why. Anyway, bottom line is no, they've got every fight you can imagine. The 30 on 30 history stuff. Check out ESPN Plus and, of course, DAZN as far as rocking and boxing concerned. Of course, and ESPN Plus also brings you a lot of the UFC. Speaking of the UFC, of course, they have been dry of late. They've been quiet. Of course, they're coming back. They're going to taking their act to Dubai. Max Holloway, the former world featherweight champion who got the shaft in his last fight. Of course, I thought he beat Volkanovski, the champion who beat him the first time around. Yes, he won the rematch, and champions usually don't come back and win the rematch. Usually the guy that wins the first fight wins the second fight, but not this time. Anyway, the judges burned him. I think Dana White came out and said that he thought that Holloway had won the fight, but you don't see Dana White putting Holloway in with the champ again. He's in with Calvin Kattar. That's going to be a rough fight at 145 pounds. Max Holloway is a face fighter. And when you're a face fighter, you can go at any given time. I mean, there's only, you know, only a certain amount of punishment you're going to take. And he's taken a lot of punishment in his career, even though he was champion and probably the supreme being at 145. Pound for pound, him and Jose Aldo, of course, two of the greats at 145. Speaking of Jose Aldo, he was winner of Fortnite. They go, why is that guy still fighting? How can he do it? I think they're like, he was fighting at 135. Holy cow. Anyway, how can he keep doing it? How can Jose Aldo keep doing it without Flintstone vitamins? Also on that main card, it's going to be on ESPN Plus. So Omari Okebov is going to take on Tim Brace. Of course, it's going to go down on ESPN Plus January 16th from the Flash Forum in Dubai. Of course, Dubai is going to rock and roll as far as the ESPN Plus and the UFC schedule is concerned. They've got Holloway and Qatar. They've got a card the following January 16th, Holloway and Qatar on ESPN Plus, UFC on ESPN. Sean Magny is going to be in the main event January 20th. UFC 257, Dustin Poirier versus Conor McGregor set the rematch. Why do you want to see that again? Wasn't the first fight like a mismatch? Why would, you know, come on. The guy that was dominant the first time usually wins the second time. We've talked about that time and time again. But McGregor's one of these guys that who knows what kind of condition he's going to show up in. The guy's a drunk. I mean, to call him an alcoholic would be like, not an understatement. I kid you not. I mean, look at him, some of his behavior. And of course, sometimes he's been known to, be the most well-conditioned guy in the world. He looks great. I mean, he comes in shape and then he has to fight with Nate Diaz where he sort of gasses. So he's not a five round type of guy in my mind. Okay. But he's going to be going five rounds, of course, against Dustin Poirier in this rematch January 23rd from Dubai. After that, the UFC is going to either go back to Vegas or stay in Dubai. They haven't made their schedule known, but I'm looking at the rest of the schedule. They've got cards through March of 2021, but not a star in any of them. Not a big star in any of them. So they don't have any stars. I mean, basically, Dana White is spit out of luck, and spit you spell with an H. I kid you not, because You know, you've got to have stars and studs. I mean, he's got this big TV contract, but how's he going to fill it? How's he going to fill it? I mean, he has no, look at John Jones. I don't know what's going on with John. Amanda Nunes, you know, she doesn't seem to be active right now. Henry Cejudo, possibly the best fighter pound for pound in the world. The 2008 Olympic gold medalist as a wrestler and, of course, a world champion at 125 and 135, upsetting Demetrius Johnson at 135. Mighty Mouse, nobody thought he could do that. He did that, went to 135 and lit up TJ Dillashaw. So, I mean, this kid was like poised for superstardom, but Dana White put the brakes on that. Dana's just that type of guy. I mean, he doesn't want his stars getting too big because if they get too big, he's got to pay them big money. And he doesn't want to pay guys big money. I've told you that in the past. I mean, if ever there was a business that was built on pimping, it's got to be the UFC. And why do I say that? Because the guys are only getting – Dana was willing to cop to 18% of the UFC dollar. In other words, when you break a dollar down, I think the NFL dollar is broken down 50-50. Okay, the NBA dollar is broken down as well. And Major League Baseball, the dollar is broken down as well. Mixed martial arts, it's like 88%. For the owners and 12% for the fighters. That's what the dollar breaks down to. And when you got guys working like that, I mean, it's comparable to crack hookers working the streets of San Francisco. I mean, boss, basically no girl's going to want to go out and do something for $100 and then take $10 in return or $8 in return because the UFC is 8 to 12% according to a lawsuit filed by Kung Lee and Kyle Kingsbury and a slew of other UFC fighters. Of course, they came out and said the UFC was just, you don't have a choice here. This is what's sort of messed up. At least in boxing, you could say, you know what? I'm not going to take that fight. And you may pay a penalty for it, maybe in the ratings or something like that, but you don't take a fight for Dana White. You're essentially in the spit can and spit with an H once more because he's just a terrible guy. He'll make your life miserable. He'll put you in fights or keep you out of fights that you need just for spite. I mean, he's as spiteful as number 46. I kid you not. Maybe even more spiteful. Of course, they hang around with each other, so there's no surprise there. But Dana White, although people call him a genius, I'm not saying he isn't. Of course, he turned the UFC, which was bought for like less than $2 million, I believe, back in 1993, 1994 They bought it from the people in South America for a couple of $1 million, and the UFC rocked and rolled since 1993. The UFC took over as far as the Fertittas were concerned, and Dana White in the early part of the century, and they've been rocking and rolling since, of course, and they did some great things, but it doesn't look like there's any great things in their future right now unless they get some stars, because they just don't have any superstars running now, and superstars is what you need. Speaking of superstars, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, a new channel, Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 217. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide Saturday Edition, coming to you from Sports Byline.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have the upside in the pay-per-view. You know?
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list. But I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money. For me. Oh, I just got to know. Ooh, baby, cause my love is so. Gonna go for him.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let's get out of this hot sun into a nice, cool bar.
In a few minutes, honey.
Check the odds tonight. King Ryan Garcia, minus 440. Luke Campbell, plus 350 for the WBC interim title at 135 pounds. Wait a second. I thought Devin Haney, the WBC champion at 135 pounds or the internet champion, the email champion, whatever Teofimo Lopez refers to him as. But I thought he had the WBC title. Here we are fighting for the WBC title. Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell, the interim belt tonight. Of course, that's tonight in a couple of hours. Looks like it'll go about 6 p.m. Eastern time. That's 3 p.m. Pacific time, live on DAZN, DAZN. I'm talking about the main event, Ryan Garcia, 20-0, 16 whacks against Luke Campbell, of course, 20-3. Luke's a big puncher, but look at the guys he's been punching. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, you can look like a killer if you're fighting guys that really aren't killers. Rene Alvarado is a minus 1,000, in other words, a 10-1 favorite over Roger Gutierrez. That is in the WBA super featherweight title on the co-feature. And IBF light flyweight title opens the card, 108 pounds, Felix Alvarez Alvarado, minus 600, 6-1 underdog, 6-1 favorite over DJ Krell. Straight up, Canelo Alvarez advocated his, gave up the 160-pound WBA belt, so he'll be campaigning strictly 168 pounds. Of course, coming off that win over Callum Smith a fortnight ago, he faces Billy Joe Sanders in the future. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, the king of boxing, figure that's going to go down in May. King Ryan Garcia, Canelo Alvarez on the same card, different cards. How are they going to do this for the Cinco de Mayo card? That's going to be real interesting, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Want to mention, when I was management at Pier 39, I had a young man working for me. Yesterday was his birthday. He passed away a fortnight ago. His name was J.C. Telez. Juan Carlos, I don't forget you. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. This is a Saturday edition. Don't forget that the Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live with 2 hours of Ring Talk, live worldwide. The Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time. 2 p.m. Eastern time, live on Sports Byline, these same channels.